The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Hello. Welcome to the Thunderbolt. It is February 15th, 2019. Everyone says that February is the shortest month of the year, but I beg to differ, no matter what calendars might have to say about the matter. This is the third week of February, and normally I have a brand new show for you for the third week of the month. But for several reasons that I'm not going to go into right now, I don't have a new show for this week. So instead, I'm going to replay one of my faves from the archives. This show is called Golden Eggs, and while I've switched up the order and while I left one piece out due to time constraints, this show originally aired on April 7th of 2017. Enjoy! Throughout the 1950s, the head of British intelligence operations against the Soviet Union was a Soviet spy. His name was Kim Philby, and he was never caught. He is suddenly popped up in the Soviet Union one day and said, "Ha ha ha, I was a spy the whole time.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to doing it and I needed it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash."
Actually, full disclosure, I am paraphrasing Mr. Philby's words here.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to doing it and I needed it. It's the only thing
I want
is just to rush.
And that was not push, the only cash. Spectacularly remarkable intelligence coup.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it and I needed it.
That the Soviets have managed
push,
to pull off
cash,
over the decades, but it was probably the most impressive. Russia has been through the forge more than once. They are very good.
I know you think I'm crazy. You all the same. I know you're just an action. I will answer you. That's my game, cuz.
Everybody! Be so petty!
Showtime.
Everybody! Be so petty!
Showtime.
So I have been writing off this whole Russia secretly controls Trump meme as hysteria from Democratic Party hacks that could not accept the election's outcome. However, that was before the Rump's people kept lying about a lack of Russian connections that later proved to have actually existed. It would appear as if some of the Rump's minions are just as inept at lying as he is. And in the context of questions about the Russians, this brings the obvious question. Why do the Rump's people keep lying about that particular question?
Standing at the machine every day for all my life. I'm used to do it and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush.
So maybe there's a there. After all, the problem is that the facts are being ignored. And we now have a phenomenon called alternative facts. Well, actually, we've always had alternative facts. It's just that they have now become so ubiquitous that they have actually been identified and named in the media machine, which historically has itself been one of the central disseminators of these alternative facts, but whose monopoly has now been completely shattered by the Rump, who tours the country now like a rock star, spouting lie after lie after lie to his cheering armies of acolytes. I meant to say that the Rump was now touring the country like a rock star, spouting alternative fact after alternative fact after alternative fact to his cheering armies of acolytes. Yes, according to our new president, our two main domestic problems are that rich people pay too many taxes and that the United States is being invaded by millions of hard-working, good-natured, family-oriented people who have really good food and really fun music. Yes, be afraid. And concerning those immigrants, only the most ambitious even make the attempt to come here, and of that number, only the most resourceful make it through the insane gauntlet that they must negotiate in order to get here, meaning that we are getting the very best of the very best of the Mexican people. But in the alternative reality of Rump World, pretty soon, we will find Bill Gates sleeping under a bridge while the rest of us are bowing down before our new taco truck overlords. Yes, be afraid. Be very afraid. And on the foreign policy front, in the alternative reality of our new president,
our main problem is terrorism. Well, it would seem to me that one method of curbing terrorism would be to stop funding terrorist organizations with American tax dollars. But what do I know? Rump is preparing to kill the goose that has laid so many golden eggs for us. And I would argue that in spite of the wealth created by a cheap and abundant oil, scientific and technological breakthroughs have actually been the biggest wealth generators in human history. All of that oil would have been of highly limited utility without all of the machines that the oil lubricates. And in addition, in the context of those wealth-generating scientific and technological breakthroughs, there is another class of immigrants that I am not hearing anyone talking about. Consider about 50% of the engineers, programmers, and designers in Silicon Valley are foreign born. China, Taiwan, and India are all very well represented in the burbs of San Jose. Most of them are in the United States under what is called an H-1B visa. Now, there are some who speak against the H-1B program. They say that these people are taking jobs from Americans. But the facts, as opposed to their alternative facts, are that the H-1B people have created many more jobs than they have taken by several orders of magnitude. The facts, as opposed to the alternative facts, are that it was largely foreigners that built America's great tech revolution. So ask yourself, why must Bill Gates stand before Congress every year justifying the fact that he absolutely, positively must have his small army of foreigners in order to conduct Microsoft's business? Well, here is why. The United States has the worst public educational system for both math and science in the whole developed world. Our students score dead last in every test and in every field. And this is not just for this year or last year either. This has been going on for decades. Yet at the same time, Silicon Valley is the world's mecca for technological expertise and innovations. Now, there are two reasons for this. The first is that, ironically, but not unintentionally, the United States also has the best institutions of higher learning in the whole world. Yes, these universities turn out highly developed and thoroughly educated brains every year. It's just that, unfortunately for the American students, they must spend their first year in college playing catch-up in order to make up for the many deficiencies within their grammar and high school educations, while most foreign students do not. The second reason for the U.S. being the world's leader in tech, in spite of our abysmal education system, is the H-1B visa. Thanks to the H-1B, there is a massive brain drain from the rest of the world into the United States every year. And not only that, but we get the cream of the cream from everywhere else simply because back in the day we established ourselves as the center not only of the technological world but of the economic, educational, and cultural worlds as well. Yes, the United States is the place to be, and within the United States, Silicon Valley is the place to be. For technological engineers and entrepreneurs, anyway. The H-1B people are not replacing American workers, because there are virtually no American workers to replace. 50% of the PhD students that are majoring in physics in our American universities are foreign-born. And many of them stay here after graduation on an H-1B. This means that we are getting everyone else's best people in these fields as well. And these days, most of them are Chinese. And so, you may or may not ask, rather than sending all of their best and brightest to study in America's universities and then go to work in Silicon Valley, why doesn't China simply build their own universities and their own Silicon Valley and begin offering golden carrots to their own scientists? Well, I am theorizing here, but I believe a lot of that is cultural. For you see, Asian culture views individuals and society in a much different manner than the West does, in that subsuming the individual wants for the good of the whole is much more ingrained into Asian culture than it is in the West. Individualism is not usually a valued trait in Asian cultures. The nail that sticks out is the one that gets hammered down, is a popular aphorism in most Asian cultures. And as with most things in this universe, this attribute has positive aspects and negative aspects. For instance, this attribute means that most Asians stand ever ready to do whatever needs to be done to protect their families or their villages or their country or whatever. And this attribute makes Asians into an utterly united and truly formidable force when dealing with them from the outside. However, at the same time, this attribute also tends to stifle the crazy genius innovative creativity that is necessary for truly revolutionary change and technological advances to happen. in Asian culture, people such as Bill Gates and Elon Musk tend to be the nails
everybody
that stick out.
Need somebody sometimes, sometimes.
And that is why the Chinese are ever ready to beg, borrow, or steal all of the American patents and innovations that they can get their billions of little hands on. And that is why Chinese flood American universities with Chinese students. And that is why the Chinese are constantly getting caught with their hands in our technological cookie jar. The Chinese have trained a literal army.
Everybody.
Of top scientists.
Need somebody. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Who are very patient and who will unquestioningly follow any orders that they are given and who are fully capable of very efficiently doing whatever work is laid out before them, but who also have absolutely zip when it comes to any kind of creative thinking. In the United States, on the other hand, rather than hammering nails, we tend to put grease on squeaky wheels. After World War II,
I know you think I'm crazy, I'm gonna ask you all the same.
As I have often noted before,
I know you're just an idiot, I'm gonna ask you, that's my game.
Pretty much the entire world lay utterly devastated and at the complete mercy of the United States. This meant that the United States, in addition to all of the other advantages offered to the one unassailable economic and military power on the planet, became a mecca for displaced scientists the world over, especially the Jewish ones. People such as Albert Einstein, for instance. So consider this. Every American that has ever won a Nobel Prize in the sciences has been foreign born. And what that means is that the great American scientific renaissance has been built almost completely by immigrants. From the Mexicans coming to pick our fruit, to the scientists coming to invent the newest technological breakthrough, we are getting the best of the best that the rest of the world has to offer. And we are getting them both through, quote, legal and illegal means. Now, an argument could be made, in fact, that it was our immigrants that made America great in the first place.
Pasaro y un vaso borda.
Ashu de kiyo.
Master the manari lair.
Ashu de kiyo.
So I really hope that the xenophobes who are currently running our country do not allow their beliefs to trump the facts. However, I suspect that we will be operating in alternative realities for the foreseeable future. So that means it is both time to cover your ass and it is time to get to work. And after all that, actually, it's only time for a station break. We'll be back in a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Yes. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 7th, 2017. You know, I must admit to harboring a highly grudging admiration for our new president's idiot savant genius set badness. Yes, it would seem that no matter how much I lower my expectations, the rump invariably so far exceeds them that I am simply left flabbergasted with my jaw hanging open. Yes, kids, we are being subjected to such a constant and non-stop barrage of absolute disaster on every imaginable front that I am beginning to think that we won't have to wait very long before this whole strike bomb explodes in everyone's face. The fact that the general consensus seems to be that we don't have enough money to provide children with even the most basic necessities of life, but we do have enough money to give monstrous tax breaks to people who already own many times more than anyone has any business owning in the first place. The fact that this is not only not being written off as insanity, but that this is being presented as the only reasonable public policy under the circumstances, well, all of this nails the problem right on the head. Insanity has been normalized, and thus insanity has become reality. And if you have any doubt that under the Rump's administration, things are going to get anything but far worse than they already are, well, our new president just released his new budget. And the man has a highly annoying habit of completely nailing the right problems and then coming up with the perfect solution for making that problem exponentially worse. The Rump's budget is so outrageous because he is employing game theory business practices and starting negotiations out on Jupiter, hoping that when the dust settles, we will find ourselves on Mars, saying WTF. Ultimately, all that the rump is doing is following the already established trajectory and taking our national madness to its next level. We have Hot Rails to Hell. All aboard!
1277 Express to Heaven.
Yes. And as if things weren't already crazy enough around here, now it is time to pull out some old Sinatra LPs and fire up the old VCR, because the toothless old grandpa himself is waiting in the wings to take us away. Oh, hey, Grandpa. So, how is things on your side of reality?
Well, son, my reality is currently being dominated by the fact that liberals are such a bunch of idiots.
Ooh, ouch. One thing I will say for you, Grandpa, is that we can always count on you for...
You can count on me to can the crap and bedoodle-ate the fartuplias is what you can count on me for. I like to tell it like it are, and we is gonna go blast us a few liberals with a few choice
thunderbolts.
Hang on to your dogma, because we's gonna go and gut us some sacred cows now. Yippee-yee-hi-yay. So I forget who she was, and I even forget what she did for a living. But some celebrity-type person was planning a trip to South Africa recently when she tweeted a sarcastic joke about not having to fear contacting AIDS whilst in South Africa because she was white. Ha ha ha. Good one. Wish I'd have thought of that. However, her joke triggered a wave of social media outrage. Okay, I personally know that the world is full of people who don't understand and or do not appreciate ironic sarcasm. My own twisted sense of humor has gotten me into trouble on more than one occasion. That's a gimme. However, all respect I had for the unknown celebrity in question flew out the window when she subsequently and abjectly apologized. WTF? Really? Some self-righteous, humorless idiots who cannot take a joke get upset, and you freaking apologize to them? So I quit expecting everyone else to be like me a long time ago. And in fact, if I ever meet anyone that even remotely resembles me, I suspect I would find it a rather alarming experience. But really? Had the same thing happen to me. I can guarantee you that not only would I have refused to apologize,
McKinley, holler at McKinley Squad, Doc said, McKinley, I can't find the code, you bound to die, bound to die.
But I would have suggested that I had been engaging in highlighting the absurdity of racism, and that I not only consider highlighting the absurdity of racism to be an honorable thing to do, but I consider highlighting the absurdity of racism to be a required thing to do.
Oh, it's okay, you rascal, see what you've done. You shot my husband, I got your gun, I'm taking you back, Washington. You're checked, you're bound to die, bound to die.
And thus, rather than an apology, I would have instead suggested that my critics could go engage in some physically impossible sexual act with one of their maternal ancestors.
Already bound in a white house, doing it fast, killing in the graveyard, taking in the rest. He's gone, long gone.
Yep, as I always say, choke 'em if they can't take a... She should have demanded an apology from them.
And now, ladies and gents, I have the privilege to play for you for the first time what I'm sure will be a hit record for Uncle O and Senator Jim Shady. Hold on, folks. She twins.
And here is even more evidence that some liberals are total idiots. There's a big move to impeach the Rump. Now, if they impeach the Rump, then we get the Pence. So it's pretty obvious to me that Mike Pence was the price that the uber wealthy radical right-wing Christian jihadists demanded of the Rump in return for their support. Now, Mike Pence is in tight with people such as Eric Prince, and thus our new vice president theoretically has access to a private mercenary army, should he feel the need of one. And Mike Pence is in tight with organizations such as Operation Rescue. In addition, Mike Pence enthusiastically embraces the ideology of killing in the name of. Yes, kids, Mike Pence has serious money behind him. He has serious organization behind him. And I personally consider Mike Pence to be a Trojan horse for the witch burners, who could never get one of their own into the White House by any normal means. And that means that a President Pence would be exponentially worse than a President Rump by several orders of magnitude. So unless you want a full-fledged theocrat sitting in the White House, then I would suggest that if anything, we should all probably be praying
for Donald Trump.
Damn, Grandpa. You certainly have a way with things. So here is the official Thunderbolt analysis of our current situation. With modern technology, the machine no longer needs vast hordes of slaves to do all their hard work for them. And thus, vast swathes of our population have become what I have heard referred to as useless mouths, or someone who produces no profit for the capitalists, as they feel that our lives have no value unless our lives are being used to enrich their lives. And at the very same time, white people in the United States are about to become a minority, and many of them are not at all comfortable with that fact. And I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons for the immigrant ban was to reverse this demographic trend.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash. Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash.
And meanwhile, Steve Bannon is reportedly having wet dreams, thinking about instigating a war with someone. And a massive war could get rid of a lot of those useless colored mouths that have now become so problematic to our national leaders.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash. Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush,
of those useless mouths.
Standing at the machine every day,
the Republicans' new health care plan has also been revealed. Now, a lot of people don't know it, but Obamacare is largely being paid for by a tax on rich people. Well, I really hate to shock you, but the Republicans' plan will eliminate this tax.
I know you think I'm crazy, I gotta ask you all the same. I know you're just a mess, yet I wanna dance with you. That's my game, cuz.
And thus, the Republicans' plan will greatly benefit the rich for the 8 wealthiest families in the United States.
The only thing I want is just to rush.
We'll get tax cuts worth an average of $7 million each.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it.
While it will be the poor, of course, that will be paying for all this. The details of the new healthcare bill are easy to find, should you wish to do so. But I think you will find that my summation pretty well sums it up.
I'm kind of dying.
And since good news is so rare these days, I am very happy to be able to report that since I recorded this piece, the Republicans' health care plan went down in flames. And thus ends part one of The Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It. Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of February 16th through February 22nd, 2019. It's the Olympia Action Alert for Saturday, February 16th. It's the Ole Assembly Bowling Night. This will be from 7 to 10 p.m. at the West Side Lanes. Those are at 2200 Garfield Avenue, Southwest. This event was organized by the Olympia Assembly. Are you tired of meetings? Want to have fun and bowl on a Saturday night with some comrades? Well, the Olympia Assembly is hosting a bowling night. Come hang out, talk about the kind of world you want to help build, find out how to get involved, and most of all, relax and have fun. The Bowlatariat has nothing to lose but its chains. So again, this is the Ole Assembly Bowling Night, Saturday, February 16th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the West Side Lanes, 2200 Garfield Avenue, Southwest. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Tuesday, February 19th, it's Oceania Rising, a peace pivot to the Pacific Tour. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Evergreen State College in the Purse Hall, P-U-R-C-E. That's at 2700 Evergreen Parkway, Northwest. And I got this message from Zoltan. Oceania Rising, a Peace Pivot to the Pacific Tour at Evergreen will be on February 19th. Indigenous women from Okinawa, Guam, and Hawaii speak out on U.S. military bases. The event is hosted by the program A People's Geography of American Empire and supported by the President's Equity Fund, MPA, CCBLA, Political Economy and Social Movements, Pacifica Roots, and Hawaii Peace and Justice. Endorsements by other programs and organizations are welcome. For information and updates, go to sites, S-I-T-E-S, dot evergreen, dot edu, and then go to the Oceania Rising tab. Or email, you can contact Zoltan Grossman at gmail.com. Zoltan is Z-O-L-T-A-N. Grossman is standard spelling. Zoltan Grossman at gmail.com. This is for Oceania Rising, a Peace Pivot to the Pacific Tour, Tuesday, February 19th. 7 to 9 p.m. at the Purse Hall at the Evergreen State College, 2700 Evergreen Parkway, Northwest. It's the Olympia Action Alert! For Wednesday, February 20th, it's Domestic Violence Advocacy Day. This will be from 9 a.m. to noon at the Washington Center for the Performing Arts at 512 Washington Street Southeast. This event was organized by the Washington State Coalition Against Domestic Violence, calling all advocates and allies who care about domestic violence. Register now for our annual Domestic Violence Advocacy Day in Olympia on February 20th, 2019. Join us for this day of advocacy and action. Learn about budget and policy issues that impact survivors of domestic violence. Get to know others in your legislative district and visit the legislators who represent you. Lunch will be provided. We can come together and make a big impact for survivors of domestic violence. So again, this is Domestic Violence Advocacy Day, Wednesday, February 20th, 9 a.m. to noon at the Washington Center for the Performing Arts, 512 Washington Street Southeast. It's the Olympia Action Alert! for Thursday, February 21st. It's Democracy Lobby Day 2019. This will be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. This event was organized by Fix Democracy First. Help promote democracy in Olympia. Hear from legislators and guest speakers. Get training from LWV lobbyists. Meet with your legislators. Lunch and refreshments will be served. To register, go to lwvwa.org and click on the Events tab. This is sponsored by Fix Democracy First and the League of Women Voters of Washington. So again, this is Democracy Lobby Day 2019, Thursday, February 21st, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. Also on Thursday, February 21st, we have a comment delivery and fracked gas resistance. This will be from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. And this event was organized by Power Past Fracked Gas. As our new green governor, we want Governor Inslee to make clean energy decisions that protect our health, safety, and climate. Join us at a rally for Governor Inslee and against dirty fracked gas projects threatening Washington State. We will deliver over 130,000 public comments to the governor's office opposing dirty fracked gas projects. There will also be cupcakes and Power Past Fracked Gas t-shirts for everyone. Let's send a powerful clean energy birthday wish message. See you February 21st. So again, this is a comment delivery and fracked gas resistance. Thursday, February 21st, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. Also on Thursday, February 21st, it's Legislator Letter Writing Night. This will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Lacey Timberland Library, 500 College Street Southeast in Lacey. This event was organized by Planned Parenthood Votes of the Northwest and Hawaii. Join Planned Parenthood volunteers, supporters, and fellow activists as we write letters to our legislators urging them to support reproductive and sexual health care education for all of Washington. The only contact information I have is a Facebook event. So again, this is Legislator Letter Writing Night, Thursday, February 21st, from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Lacey Timberland Library, 500 College Street Southeast in Lacey. And that's it for the calendar, and that is it for the Thunderbolt. Please remember that the views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station. Blame me. Don't blame them.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next week.